I had asked for the reading from the epistle to the Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 because it was that particular verse 1 and the verses that followed were the turning point of this wretched sinner, a Pharisee of Pharisee, a Roman Catholic of Roman Catholics in the priesthood for 22 years. It was that portion of Scripture especially that the Lord used to save a wretch like me. Just a quick overview. I grew up in Dublin, Ireland, in a very devout Catholic family. We prayed on our knees every single evening. I remember from when I was 4 years old, we prayed to Mary, the 50 Hail Marys in the Rosary, finishing off with the prayer, Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, hail our life, our sweetness and our hope. Our hope was in Mary. Most of our prayers were always said to Mary. And we were absolutely devout Catholics. We would have statues of Mary and statues of Jesus and all sorts of things around the house. Thoroughly Catholic. And we went to Mass every Sunday and Holy Days of Obligation. And I learned when I made my first communion, first confession, you know, to do all the sacraments of the Catholic Church. When I was sent to school, it was with the Jesuit fathers, and I was sent in Denmark, Denmark Street in Dublin to the Belvedere College. And from when I was 10 years old, I could defend why the Pope was infallible and how we had a living voice and not a dead book, you know, that sort of thing. And it was, really defending Catholicism I learned even as a young boy. Then when I was in my teens, I loved going to dances and I loved the girls and I loved the, you know, I loved the social life. I was playing even championship tennis. And I had my eye on one girl in particular, I might marry her. And then I read what the Pope said in his quite well-known encyclical letter called The Mystical Body of Christ. I still know it by heart. I memorized it way back then when I was 18. He said, great mystery this and source of unending contemplation, that the salvation of many should depend on the prayers and sacrifices of the members of the mystical body of Christ offered for this intention. So, for salvation of souls depends on prayers and sacrifices of members of the Catholic Church, what they call the mystical body of Christ. So I was intent that I was going to live this, and I was going to give up now being going to get married and settle down, have a family. I was intended to become a dentist. I was going to give that up and become a Catholic priest. So that was a huge turnaround in my life, and I was accepted by the Dominicans. I went to study. I bought a Bible for £3, was a huge amount of money in those days, and I thought we were going to study the Bible, you know, so I bought a Bible before going into the Catholic seminary. We had a devotional years of prayers to Mary and meditation where you try to get mystical contact with God. And a whole lot of Catholic rituals for a whole year. And then I started studying philosophy of Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas came later in theology. Aristotle, whom Thomas Aquinas based himself on, besides the Bible and church traditions and other things that he learned from. So this was not what I expected. We were studying philosophy of a pagan who lived over 300 years before Christ ever came into the world. So I was aghast, you know. And but anyway, we studied philosophy for 3 years, and then we were to study Aquinas in theology. We did not study the Bible, but we did study redaction criticism, form criticism, and higher criticism from some supposed to be intellectuals in Germany who were trying to persuade people by their intellectual presuppositions that the Bible was not to be trusted, but there was copies made, and like things like John's Gospel was not written by John, you know, and this and this and this, and it went on and on to try and prove that we really can't rely on Scripture. And that was diabolically, sinisterly evil, because it purported to be intellectual and was just based on suppositions that had no place in reality. We know the history of the Bible is absolutely authentic, and we can show that historically, and we know that God's word is truth spiritually from what he has revealed. But that was part and parcel of a Catholic education, and you know, so that you believe on the church and not on the Scripture. And so then I went into study, and I was very devout. When I was in the preparing for the priesthood in the first few years, I had read and what Mary, who had appeared, they said at Fatima, what she said about souls going to hell. Mary was purported to say, and it was all over, you know, the Catholic books and you know, that we got, and different pamphlets explaining Mary's message. Many souls go to hell because there's nobody to pray or do penance for them. And the abomination is like, you need more than Christ's death. You need human beings suffering so the souls would not go to hell. And I memorized that like I did, and I decided to suffer even more than just be going to study. I decided to have cold showers in the dead of winter, and we know how cold it gets here in Ireland in the winter. I'd stand under the cold shower and turn on the faucet and just stand there for about 10 minutes till it's like my bones would crack with the cold. It was one of the more horrific things I ever did. And then I would have little pebbles in my shoe when I walked to feel pain, to offer up the pain. And then at one stage, 2 years later, I got permission to make a whip, and I'd take off my white Dominican gown and my undershirt, and I would, you know, flagellate myself, beat myself with the whip, never to blood, but till I couldn't stand the pain anymore. So this sort of thing, I was utterly devout Catholic. And when we did the theological studies, I did very well. I was ordained in 1963, and because I did so well, I was sent to Rome to do 2 major degrees in the Catholic Church so that I could become a professor or, you know, go to one of the universities in the Catholic world, you know, either in Ireland or overseas in Europe, because the Dominican Order is across the world like the Catholic Church, not just in Ireland. So it was so you could become a professor. So I was sent off to Rome. I was horrified by Rome. It was, we called it the Holy City. From when I got off the train and was coming across the city to walk up towards the Colosseum and up to San Clemente, where a church and house where I was to stay, the prostitutes on the street was, I'd never seen things like this before. But much worse was when class began in the university, the Angelicum University. There was 300 students, and there was about 6 of us out of that 300 that I could make out were sincere, devout priests who wanted to suffer and wanted to be good Catholics and wanted to say Mass with reverence and on and on. The rest I talked to, because English, even back then, was like an international language. And these men just want a position in the church. And the things they talked about, and their morals from what came out of their mouth was horrendous. I was shocked, just horrified by what I saw. And it's like it turned in my stomach. I didn't even feel well. It was unbelievably horrific. I got a permission after about 2 months to go to Fiesole up near Florence for a 2-week rest, and then I came back and I tried again at the classes, and I was supposed to do my degrees, and that one of the professors of one of my degrees was asking me how far was I along with my thesis, and I said, I'm not going to do it. I have to go back to Ireland. I just can't stand here. I just can't take it here in Rome. And he got really annoyed, and he said to me, well, if you're having trouble writing your thesis, there was a man here a few years ago, and he wrote a good thesis. I'll just give it to you. Just change a few things and put your name on it, and that'll be your thesis. I said, that's immoral. That's like those prostitutes out in Caracalla Park. You know what I mean? It's immoral. It's a different type of immorality. You can't do that. And he was annoyed that I, a young priest, should correct him, you know, an older priest and a professor. Anyway, I did. So, and I wouldn't do the degrees, and they were very annoyed at me. I left Rome early, did early exams, and went back to Ireland. And they were thoroughly annoyed with me. And the superiors met, and then the main superior told me I was to be sent to Trinidad West Indies. And that was, it's like purgatory in this earth. It's where they sent priests, you know, who weren't behaving themselves like that. It was near the equator, a small little island off the coast of Venezuela. And it's extremely hot, you know. From the first night, the insects and the noise of the insects, I never knew tropics. One of the things, it's the noise of the insects, and not just those that bite, like the mosquitoes. It's a strange place, all the mosquitoes. You can't sleep at night for the noise of the mosquitoes, not the other insect. And the snakes and all the other things. And it was, and then the lives of the people, most of the people were Hindu. And the next big majority of people were Catholic, and the immorality of the island, and there was, and then mixed up with Catholicism was voodoo, what we call Shango. And so it's not just Catholicism I know in Ireland. It brings in some pagan elements that the blacks, that was the Negroes, brought with them from Africa. And it was real, real strange. So it was it was really, really hard. And even more difficult was then starting hearing confessions. I used to sweat a lot. You know, when you're hearing confessions, people kneel down to you, and it's just a little grill between you, and you can see their face. Sometimes the women will come to confession, and I see sweat here on their cheeks. You know, some of the women confessing their, you know, their horrific sexual sins and everything, and it was like sitting in a dumpster with garbage poured over you for a few hours, and it was horrific. And then when they come back after you give them forgiveness, and you come back week after week, sometimes with the same sins, you just wonder what's happening. You know what I mean? It was real, real strange, and life was difficult, baptizing babies and all that, and it wasn't just because of the tropics, it was the things you were doing, and the lot of car accidents in Trinidad, going to funerals, going to car accidents, all the work that a priest does on the mission field, where you're not only in charge of one congregation, you can have three or four outstations for other churches going with your main church. So it was, you run off your feet, and it's a strange people and strange customs, and the climate is anything you never get accustomed to. So it was real difficult. I was 9 years a priest, and by the grace of God, I didn't know then it was the grace of God. I had a disastrous accident. I was going to visit a family who lived at the top of a hill, and instead of waiting and calling for them to come down and tie up the Alsatian dogs, I did what I did many times before. There's a little 3-foot fence at the top of the hill. I jumped over. I was going to knock on the door so that they could open up the door and I go in. I used to play Scrabble with them, when I visited them on my free day. And I slipped. And I went down 24 concrete steps. I damaged back of my skull and my back spine. And I was 3 days unconscious, and it was horrendous. the same when you're unconscious, but for someone who's unconscious for 3 days, there was something there you could somehow sense, your closeness to death. It's I don't know how to explain it, a sort of a deep consciousness when you're unconscious. It's really strange, and somehow I kept holding on, as it were, and I came back to consciousness, and I had a huge turban around my head like a Muslim, only it was for the bandages on my head. And then I was in a sanatorium for about 3 months. It was a colossally serious accident. And then I wondered, where would I have gone if I died? And I started to study the Bible. And by God's grace, I started reading John's Gospel, then the first epistle of John, and then I started to read Isaiah 53, because I knew that said something about the death of Christ in prophecy. I started reading that, and then I started reading I read Paul's letters, and I came to one verse, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And I took that verse and I wrote it in handwriting, and I got some scotch tape and I put it up in the house and I put it up in the dashboard of my car. This was my motto. This was that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That was my heart's desire. And then I started to study, and I got stuck, or God had me get stuck somehow, in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Sometimes I'll read it 9, 10, sometimes 20 times a day, those two chapters. And the Lord was going to use this mightily. And the first thing I saw was what I taught when I preached on Sundays, and what I taught the children when I taught them catechism, was that salvation is in the human heart. That by the sacraments we receive grace into our heart. It's like when you go to, you know, the petrol station, you receive petrol into the car. Well, we receive grace into our heart. That's where salvation was. And that's where we taught people. And we would quote the official part from the Catholic teaching. Then I read Ephesians chapter 1, accepted in the beloved. And then Paul talks about, you know, all the being forgiven and everything, but it's in him, in whom, in Christ, through him, we read tonight, it's all in Christ. And I got my Catholic Bible and I got a red pen, I underlined where it says, in him, in Christ, in whom. You know, all these equivalents, 42 times salvation in Christ in those two chapters. Utterly different. Salvation is not in any system or any church. It's in Christ. And this is revelation. And I couldn't know what to do with this, but this was utterly different, and it had a huge impact on me. Salvation is in Christ and not in the human heart. And I just couldn't but wonder at this huge disparity. And then then I continued to read and study, and I started studying grace. You know, Romans chapter 3, where it says, all of sin comes short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Freely by his grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. That is grace. It's free, and Christ paid it all in the redemption. And then Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, by grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works. I knew right well what the Catholic Church said. I knew the canon law, where it was a law of the Catholic Church, because it proclaimed what Trent had said, that salvation is ex opere operato, they're the Latin words, from the work worked, which is the sacraments. ex opere operato. The actual words were from the work worked. The sacraments are those that give us the grace of the Holy Spirit. I knew all the official teaching that grace was from the Catholic Church sacraments, and they work automatically. That's how we sort of put into English, ex opere operato. They work from the work worked. Exactly opposite of what the Bible said. And this was, again, beginning now to upset my stomach. I mean, this is not what I expected to see. I'm trying to find out how am I right with God, and this is not what I'm looking for. And it was on and on. And then I sort of took 9 months off, and I went to study Transcendental Meditation. And then at the end of that, which was just didn't lead anywhere, I came back to study Scripture again. And then I got on to faith. And this was the most disturbing of all. I knew the Catholic teaching on faith. It's still the same as it is in the new catechism of the Catholic Church. And it's emphatic. I saw, first of all, that the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Like Paul said to the jailkeeper in Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's believing on the person of Christ. And I said, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Peter said, we have received like precious faith through the righteousness of Christ. And faith is God-given. And now I knew my Catholic teaching. My Catholic teaching is the same today as it was back then. I'd like to read you the official words. Official teaching of the Catholic Church, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 168. It is the Church that believes first and so bears, nourishes and sustains my faith. The Church believes first. Then salvation comes from God alone, but because we receive the life of faith through the Church, she is our mother. And then the conclusion, believing is an ecclesial act. It's a church act. The Church's faith precedes, engenders, supports, and nourishes our faith. The Church is the mother of all believers. No one can have God as Father who does not have the Church as Mother. So you see where Catholics believe. They believe on Mother Church. That's what I grew up believing. That's what I taught people. They believe in Mother Church. She has the means of salvation. She knows the truth. She teaches us truth. We believe in Mother Church. Scripture says we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Catholic Church to this day says we believe on the Church believes first. And you cannot have God as Father if you do not have the Church as Mother. That's still official Catholic teaching. And this was something that my stomach now couldn't keep quiet. I began taking wine during the day, and then I started to take, at night time I take 2 beers, and then I take 2 beers plus this much of rum, and then it used to go up more and more, even to sleep at night. When I was trying to explain to some of the other priests, they would mock me on the golf course, and they'd mock me when we had dinner, you know, meals together on Mondays, which was the day we took off. They'd mock me. They say, Bennett, you pray to Jesus to get that ball down. You pray to your Jesus. You know, they'd mock me. And it was real, real difficult. And I just did not know what to do. And I was becoming more and more engrossed in drinking wine during the day and rum and beers at night. I knew that things were going wrong, and I went into my house and went upstairs on a little red carpet, and I knelt on the floor and I prayed, God in heaven, show me I'm in a mess. It may be, I may come so addicted to drink I may not be able to get out of it. And I've been studying these years now what it is to be right before you and how to have peace with you, and I'm no further along. I said, show me. And I knelt there, and then it was after about 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 minutes, the verse came to mind that I knew so well because I read it nearly every day. You being dead in trespasses and sins. And then I cried out to God, show me that I'm dead. And man, that's a prayer that you need courage to pray when you are dead, to pray to God. He was showing me more and more. I thought I was always a good priest, not like some of these other priests with women on the side and all of this. And I was not, you know, I was the holy priest and I was this and this and this. And now I've been studying my Bible since this accident. There must be something going for me. You've been dead, spiritually dead. I realize I can never make an act of faith. It's a gift of God. There's no hope for me except cry out to God. And I cried out. I said, God in heaven, give me the gift of faith that you say is the gift. Give it to me as a gift because I don't know how to believe. Give me the gift. Energize it through your grace. So that I am accepted in Christ, redeemed by his precious blood, forgiven his sins, and that I have peace with you. I said, God in heaven, give me this. And then I knelt for about 5, 6, maybe 10 minutes. And then it's like the Spirit of God came upon me and I put my hands up and I said, Father in heaven, I thank you that I trust in Christ and Christ alone. I thank you that by the faith that you give me and the grace by which you activate that faith, I am accepted in Christ, forgiven all my sins. I have peace with you and that I share everlasting life now and for the rest of my life and into eternity. I just thank God. And then I got down on the ground and I cried for about 15 minutes. And then first thing I noticed was that the addiction to drink was gone. And then the following Sunday at Mass, I'm telling the people, no, don't come to confession anymore. I think it was like David Silverside's prayer today, that it was said that, no, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. I quoted the passage from John. I said, confess your sins to God. He's faithful and just. And that didn't go down well somewhere. Phoning the Archbishop and, you know, telling him. And then the following Sunday I started to tell the people, you know, we have these sacraments and everything, but I said, let me tell you what I have discovered. I said, if we look to God and ask for faith and just trust in what Christ did by God's power directly, see, because the sacraments always come through the medium of these rituals, and here am I trying to preach what I had experienced. And some people seem to hear, but most hear and were very dissatisfied. And now cars going to, besides people phoning the Archbishop, I was called to the Archbishop's house and he got really annoyed at me. He said I had to be moved. And he was going to send me to a parish that was infected and overrun by the witch doctors with the voodoo, and it would have been a physically and spiritually dangerous place to go. But I started to pray to God and I saw that I couldn't stay on. I can never preach, I can never. And I prayed that the Lord would give me a love for Catholics so I could reach out to them. And really, I wanted to give Catholics what I had discovered myself. And like the Lord was assuring me, as far as you know, the Holy Spirit speaking through the written word of God, that I would be able to love Catholic people, but I had to come out. And I left the priesthood. I got to Barbados, then I got from Barbados to Canada, and then I came from Canada on a Greyhound bus into Seattle, and then I came from Seattle on a Greyhound bus till I found a telephone number of a man who had come to Trinidad, a Catholic. And when I phoned him, I found that his wife and children had left the Catholic Church 4 months previously. And they welcomed me, and I stayed on the farm for 6 months, studying the scripture and being built up in the faith. The rest is in the little booklet we have tonight, the rest of my story by God's grace. But that was, and God has answered the prayer. I now have a ministry, praise God, Berean Beacon, BreenBeacon.org on the internet, and we have videos and MP3s and messages going out across the world, not just in English but in other languages, and I praise God. And I do see precious Catholics come to the Lord. I hate the system, but I love the people. People want to reach out and give them. So I thank God. So that's a quick overview. So praise God. So you see why I asked for Ephesians chapter 2, particularly that verse 1 that did me in. The Lord is faithful. You being dead in trespass and sins.